If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where today we're joined by Grace Lister from Team Brother UK Orientation Marketing. Now, Grace is a young rider in a hurry. She joins us soon after winning three titles at the National Youth and Junior Championships at the Geraint Thomas Velodrome in Wales, and soon after helping Dame Laura Kenny to win scratch race gold at the Commonwealth Games. Grace started this year as she meant to go on by winning the senior national women's team pursuit title with Brother UK orientation marketing teammates Ellen Bennett, Holly Ramsey and Izzy Sharp. And if that wasn't enough, well, Grace is also a member of British Cycling's Junior Olympic Academy. She was part of the Team GB quartet that won the Junior European Women's Team Pursuit title in 2021 in a world record time, and this year has gained valuable experience in Nations Cup events on the road. Her appearances on UK roads have been few this season, but impressive. She finished in the top 10 at the Women's Cycle Classic and was 6th at the Otley Grand Prix, both in Team Brother UK orientation marketing colours, two very different races demanding very different skills. Grace's season is not done yet. Later this month, she'll travel to Israel to represent Great Britain at the World Junior Track Championships, and she hopes to head on to Australia for the World Road Race Championships in September. Grace, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Grace, thanks again for joining us, and thank you for sitting through that very lengthy intro. But
right.
It's been a heck of a season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really busy, and it's not finished yet. I've had quite a busy block of racing the past few weeks, so been good, but also been quite tiring, and but it's all been worth it, which is the main thing.
So are you enjoying a rare night off this evening? It's a pretty boring Wednesday in August. What have you been doing today? Have you been booking flights? Have you been out training? Or have you actually had a day off?
So yeah, I have been training today. I've got a day off tomorrow, so that's something to look forward to. I had a 2-hour ride this morning, and then I've actually got this week at home, which is not normal for me, so it's been quite nice to just relax. It's been like my first week at home since about June.
Do you manage still to get out on the local loops that, you know, you've ridden for as long as you've been a cyclist?
Well, I've lived in Shrewsbury for the past 3 years, so I'm pretty used to all the roads now, but it's not far from where we used to live, so I'm on local roads.
Now, this time last week, you were winning national titles. I think in the intro, I only mentioned two of them, didn't I? The points and the Madison. Have I got that right?
So I won the scratch as well, yeah.
Oh my goodness, three national titles in a single week.
Yeah.
Which of them gives you the greatest satisfaction? There were two individual titles there, of course, the points and the scratch, and the Madison with your teammate Izzy. Which one do you cherish the most?
The Madison was definitely one. Like, that was the one at the start of the week. You know, I wanted to win that with Izzy, and I think it had always been a small target from the start of the year, that if we could win that together, it would be pretty nice. And then, but like, the points race again was my first individual jersey, so that was pretty special as well. So yeah, they all mean quite a bit.
Of course, you already had a national senior title that you'd won with Brother UK Orientation Marketing back in March. Did that one come as a surprise, you know, given the youth of the team, three juniors and an under 23?
Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting that in the slightest. I think we had a couple of sessions together just to prepare a little bit. And I think we went in saying, you know, if we got a medal, then that would be a good result for us. So, yeah, that was one that wasn't expected.
And then last week, as we say, three titles in 1 week. Did you know that you had good form? Had you kept that form that you showed us in the Commonwealth Games?
I went into it pretty tired. I was pretty been racing. Like, obviously, I'd gone straight from Portugal to London, and I'd had quite a heavy few weeks. And I think, you know, I got Israel in next week, so it was kind of a week that I had to train through, and I wasn't really sure on how I was going to be feeling, but it turns out I was all right. Yeah.
Now, you've raced at some of the best known velodromes in the country. You were in London, of course, at the Olympic Velodrome for the Commonwealth Games. You were in Newport at the Geraint Thomas Velodrome for the Junior National Track Championships. Do you have a favourite venue?
London is quite, yeah, like that was quite special to ride at a home games. That was pretty cool. But I think, like, I'm pretty central to all the velodromes. So I'm here, there and everywhere all the time at each one of them. So, yeah.
But do they all have different characteristics? I mean, I know that they're standard 250-metre tracks, aren't they, at all of the major velodromes in the UK? That's the Chris Hoy Velodrome up in Glasgow, the Geraint Thomas Velodrome in Newport, the Olympic Velodrome in London. But do they all feel different?
Glasgow's the one that I think I always get on, and that's a little bit different. Like, the straights are a bit longer and the bankings are a bit steeper. But London, Newport and Derby, they're all pretty similar.
Well, we mentioned the Commonwealth Games a moment ago at the Olympic Velodrome in London. I'm going to ask you, Grace, to put that in some kind of context, starting right at the beginning. Now, I know a bit about this story already, but for our listeners, can you tell us when and how you discovered that you've been selected by Team England for what is arguably, you know, the biggest competition outside of the Olympic Games?
They'd sent out an email a couple of days prior saying, you know, you'll get the email like in a couple of days as to whether you're going or not. And so I knew it was going to be around my birthday sort of time. And yeah, it just came up by email, and I wasn't really sure when I first got it that which way it was going. But yeah, it was a pretty cool birthday present.
Well, not a bad way to celebrate your 18th birthday. But you needed some sort of clarification, didn't you, from a friend? You read the email and still not quite sussed that you've been picked.
Yeah. I had to, like, I sent it to my coach. So I didn't really understand what it was saying at the time. And then she told me that I'd been selected for it. So, yeah, it was a nice surprise.
Was it a jumping around the kitchen moment, or did you just get on with your day?
I think my dad was home at the time, and then my mum was actually away with work. So I rang her and told her on the phone, which was quite cool.
Well, I cannot imagine a better way to celebrate an 18th birthday than by finding out you've been picked for the Commonwealth Games. Did you get to the opening ceremony? By the way, I know that you were busy winning national titles during the closing ceremony, but did you get to witness that incredible opening ceremony? You're in Shrewsbury, you're not a million miles from Birmingham. Did you manage to get along?
No, we didn't get. So it was the night before, I think, the first race. So, and with us being at London, it was kind of difficult to get to. So that was the only thing, we didn't get to go to them, but the whole experience as a whole was, yeah, it was pretty big.
I think it's always retained that aura, hasn't it? I mean, Brad Wiggins, of course, set the world hour record there in 2015. A year later, you know, he was back with Mark Cavendish to win the World Madison Championships, and inevitably Laura Kenny and Jason Kenny won world titles at that same championships. I mean, it's a very special place, isn't it?
Yeah, I think having a home crowd, I mean, the races that on the track that I've done, like, you don't get crowds, never mind home crowds. So it was something that you had to get a little bit used to, but I had the IP to kind of settle me in a little bit to it. But yeah, it was pretty full and it was pretty loud at times. But I think that all adds to, like, the whole experience and having it at home as well. Yeah.
As you say, you kicked off your campaign at the Commonwealth Games with the individual pursuit. You set a personal best. I mean, really hit the boards running, so to speak. But I guess the standout performance was that incredible ride in the scratch race final. Was that a bit of a pinch-me moment, having watched Laura in 2012?
Yeah, I think London 2012, like, that set it off really well. And I remember watching that when I was, like, I would have been about 8 years old. And, you know, at the time, I didn't really understand what was going on, but you could still tell it was a pretty cool, like, atmosphere.
Can that be daunting as well as inspiring? Or do you just challenge yourself to rise to the occasion?
Not really. I think it's pretty cool having someone like that, you know, in your own team, and someone that has done so well in the past and you've watched. I think it's, you take a lot from them, so.
I mean, to share a track with Britain's most successful female Olympian at the Velodrome, where, you know, she first entered the national conscious, really, didn't she, with Jo Rousell, and Danny King. I mean, they really were, you know, arguably the poster girls for the entire Games. And then to ride out with Laura 10 years later, the Commonwealth Games must have been a magical experience. And boy, did you seize the opportunity with both hands. Tell us about that attack, because that set up everything, didn't it? It set up the last phase of the race.
I think by this point that I knew the race was coming down to a sprint, and, you know, Laura was obvious that she would be the best choice for that in that situation. So coming around 5 laps to go, I knew Laura would want the race lined out, want it to be quick, it would suit her. I saw Sophie at the near the front and Laura was on her wheel. And I just thought, you know, like, now's the time to go and just line it out and help Sophie do that. And so I kind of started it off, and Nia, one of the Scottish podium riders, kind of came with me. And Sophie then was in front of Laura. And as I came back, Sophie took over with about, I think it would have been about 3 laps to go. And then I think a lap and a half to go, Laura came round and got rushed to Nia, and yeah, she got the sprint in the end.
I mean, amazing presence of mind there, Grace. It sounds like you weren't entirely caught up in the moment, that you were cool enough to assess what was going on and you know, to seize your chance. Clearly you understood the tactical implications of what you were doing. That's a pretty calm head on young shoulders.
Yeah, I think watching it back, I definitely read the race in the last few laps quite well. And at the time, you don't really have time to think about it. You just kind of have to do it. And it's those decisions that you have to make in those kind of split seconds. Sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't, but you just have to learn from it. And in that moment, I think I just saw it and I knew in that second that what the best thing would have been to do and to help Sophie and Laura out. So, yeah.
What do you take away from that, Grace? I mean, that must send your confidence sky high, that you're there on one of the biggest stages imaginable. And, you know, in that split second of time, you get it right. You make the right decision. That must make you feel 10 feet tall.
Yeah, I think to know that I can go and do it at that level and put myself at the front of that bike race with 5 laps to go, you know, like, obviously, the biggest race I've done that before would have been Junior Euros and people with your own age group. So to know that I can go into bigger races like that and still kind of hold your own. Yeah, because I didn't know where I'd be at that level, like, you know, going into it, and I wasn't really sure what to expect. But yeah, it gives you a good idea of where you're at.
The training, the physical side, you know, that's one thing, but having the tactical brain and the calmness to execute the strategy and to seize the moment when you see it, you know, that really is something else. I guess part of that is hours and hours and hours of training and even a lifetime on the bike. When did you first fall in love with cycling?
I think it's probably a gradual thing. When I was younger, I did like a lot of sports and it kind of gradually narrowed down to cycling as I got older and wanted to take that more seriously and felt like that was the one that I could do well at. And I think I was about 7 or something when my dad took me down to like his old club in Wolverhampton, and I just started with their like youth training sessions just as kind of, you know, another after school activity, and it kind of just gradually got a little bit more serious. And then yeah, I think it was just over time really.
What other sports were you pursuing?
So I started off doing swimming, tennis, just things after school clubs, like netball, and like I always do like cross country for school and things like that. So it was a bit of a mix of everything.
What were you looking for in sport, Grace? Are you a naturally competitive person? Do you like to challenge yourself? Is it the sense of achievement that drives you? What attracts you to sport?
I think as I was younger, I just got enjoyment out of it, and you know, you could do it with your friends and just challenging yourself. Yeah, as you say. And I think as I've got older, it's just I've realised that, you know, like this is something I could potentially do in the future and do it as a job and do it as a career. And that would be pretty cool.
Well, we had a long conversation actually in our most recent episode. We had Daisy with us, your teammate from Brother UK Orientation Marketing, and Ian Watson, who manages the Brother UK London team and, you know, who's pretty much single-handedly built the women's racing scene in London. You know, it's funny. Even 10 years ago, I wonder if it would have been such an obvious career path for a young female rider. It obviously hasn't crossed your mind that it wouldn't be, has it? I mean, it's clearly a question of, well, you know, cycling is something I do very well and it could provide my living. I could make a career out of this.
Yeah, I think I've grown up with it like watching over the last few years, like lots of people's careers now. And I think like a younger generation can kind of take that forward and, you know, realise that you haven't got to work alongside, you know, it can be your career and for as long as it is. And I think that is, yeah, it's good for everyone just to see that and like younger, inspire younger generation of people coming through.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Who was your earliest inspiration? Was it watching Laura and Danny and Joe on the television at the Olympics in 2012? Or was it closer to home? You know, was it your dad? You mentioned that he'd been a member of Wolverhampton Wheelers.
I think my dad was definitely the one that cycling wouldn't have, don't think would have been something that I'd have chosen or got into if it hadn't have been for him. So yeah, he was definitely the one that started it off. And then I think watching the Olympics as I grew up, you know, like London 2012, like I didn't really understand much about bike racing then, but I thought it was pretty cool. So and then going on and watching Rio, I was a little bit older and I'd been racing a couple of years by that point. So like, I think I had a bit more of a understanding of what was going on at that point.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of times, Grace, you know, getting serious about cycling. What sort of age were you when you first realised, yeah, I can really do this?
At the end of 2020, I went on to the junior academy. And I think at that point, it became more of a lifestyle and things kind of started to revolve around my training rather than my training fitting in with everything else. So I think at that point I thought it was, you know, starting to get a little bit, kind of taking it up a bit of a level. And then the last 2 years I've had on the academy, yeah, I've been pretty full on.
And how did that academy opportunity present itself? Were you already on the books, so to speak, at British Cycling? Had they been following you as a youth? Did you have to go do a test session, for example, you know, to prove yourself, to give them some numbers? Did they analyse that training data? How does that opportunity actually come about where you end up on British Cycling's Olympic Academy?
Yeah, so as a youth A, I was on their like apprentice programme. It's just kind of like a small group of riders over the country, like the best sort of youth riders. We didn't really do a lot that year because obviously it was lockdown. So from March onwards, we didn't really get much opportunity to do much. And then I just remember getting selected on that. I think it would have been the August, September time, and then going to Manchester for the first few camps on junior academy. But normally like there's a confirmation phase or something like that, but we didn't have that year. So I think they kind of knew at that point who they wanted to take on. But I think when I got into junior academy, that was kind of when I knew that it was getting a little bit more serious.
You mentioned that sudden change of priority. It wasn't any longer a case of fitting training around other parts of your life. It was fitting other parts of your life around training. How challenging was that? I mean, you just finished college, haven't you?
Yeah, so I think I get my results tomorrow, but with college, like I've done it obviously the past 2 years and I did a diploma in sport. So that's been, I think it was like 2.5 weeks I was actually in college for. So I've been able to work my training timetable around that pretty well. And then it also gives you a bit of time to just relax and do other normal things, I guess.
Is that encouraged by the academy? Do they want you to get an education? Do they give you the time? You know, do they understand?
Yeah, they definitely want you to, you know, like have an education. I think it's always good to have something else to do as well, you know, so you don't become too, it kind of lets your mind kind of switch to something else, if that makes sense. And I think it's good to combine both.
And when will you go up to the senior academy? I mean, it seems like a formality. Is there a particular age at which they say, okay, you know, now we'd like to push you forwards? Could you even go up early?
Yeah, so I should be going on to the senior academy at the end of this year. Hopefully I'll be, I guess, being a bit more based in Manchester on their track programme.
That's the big time, right? That's the pathway to Paris.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think Paris is pretty close for me. I'll only be 20, but I mean, you never know. But I think if I'm looking at Olympics, it's probably going to be, what will it be, 2028?
Yeah, 2028 in Los Angeles, and you would be what, the ripe old age of?
Yeah, I'd be 24 then, so I feel like that would be a better age.
Wow, I mean, incredible stuff. You know, the Olympic Academy, it's already passed into the folklore of British cycle sport, hasn't it? You know, the riders that have come through it, the champions, no less. And yet, equally, a lot of people don't make it. It's a tough school, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a tough sport. But, you know, I mean, I think the pathway has proven itself and it has come out with, you know, some of the world's best riders. So still a long way to go for me, so we'll just have to see how it goes over the next few years.
Closer to home from a brother perspective, you know, is Brother UK Orientation Marketing, which is a team that Brother has sponsored for several years now, which has produced a number of excellent riders, notably Anna Henderson, who, of course, now rides in the Women's World Tour with Jumbo-Visma. How did that all come about for you? How did you meet the team manager, Mark Botley? How did you meet the general manager, Simon Howes?
It would have been last October, and I was going into my second year on Junior Academy. And I just wanted a team that was going to be, you know, flexible around me and, like, my commitments, and but still allow me to come in and race, like, the National Series races on the road and the track. And Amani was on the Junior Academy at the same time as me, and she was with Team On Form, and, you know, I had a conversation with her, and she always came back and said good things about it. And that was when I think my coach put me in contact with Mark, and I think we each had a few conversations, and then, you know, it just felt like the right move for me for this year.
Well, that's Imani Pereira-James, of course, another huge talent who sadly is no longer in the sport. You know, I remember last year Imani finishing sixth in a round of the Tour Series, racing against, you know, much more experienced riders, senior riders. I guess that shows that the academy isn't for everybody.
Yeah, I think she just came to a point where, you know, she was stopping and enjoying it, and you never know, she might come back to it and maybe take a different route. But I think for her at that time, it wasn't the right thing for her.
Well, we'd love to see Imani back in the sport and back in a Brother UK Orientation Marketing jersey. She's a massive talent. And, you know, as long as Imani's not in the sport, it's a poorer place. Now, tell us about Mark Botley. I've spoken to Mark a number of times. I've never actually met him in person, but on the phone he comes across as super encouraging, super cheerful guy who clearly has a very sound tactical brain as well. I mean, he plotted that strategy for your senior women's team pursuit victory back in March, didn't he?
Yeah, so he really helped out with that. You know, he got the sessions going, and he's always really supportive at races. And I think we just have a nice team atmosphere where we go, and he definitely encourages that.
You haven't had a huge number of opportunities to race on the road for Brother UK Orientation Marketing this year. You've been busy at events like the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
How's it been on those occasions when you have raced on the road in the Team On Form colours? I mentioned in the intro that you were in the top 10 at the Cycle Classic, you were sixth at the Otley Grand Prix. Where does domestic racing fit into your jigsaw?
I've been able to do some on the road, quite a bit on the track as well, actually, but it's always nice to come back and race for them. I've got quite a few teammates as well, like I'm good friends with, and just a nice atmosphere, I think, when I get to come back and race on the UK scene. So yeah, I do really enjoy it.
How do those UK races compare with Nations Cups, for example? Is it possible even to make a comparison? Are they raced in a similar way? I mean, how do they measure up?
I think the Nations Cups, they're just a little bit more hectic sometimes. Say like maybe like the National Senior Series kind of is a little bit more similar. It's a bit longer in distance. It's, you know, it's getting on a few hours long. And I think the senior races are kind of more similar comparison to the sort of Nations Cups.
Well, it's an interesting point, actually. I remember many years ago now interviewing Ryan Mullen, who, of course, is on Bora Hansgrohe, and he used the phrase dog eat dog about Nations Cups. You know, he mentioned that it's every rider for themselves and gave the impression that he wasn't sorry to leave it all behind. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
I think so, yeah. I think they are quite quite hectic, but I think, like, on Nations Cups, you have your, like, GB team, so, like, you get to do a bit more, like, team up with different people, and then you come back and race with different riders. So, yeah, like, the Junior Nations Cups, they are definitely quite chaotic, but, like, they're a good experience, and they're, you know, good for your learning and development and going forward, hopefully, into, like, the senior ranks next year.
And how do you rank the class of 2022, so to speak? I mean, there's just so much talent in British women's road racing at the moment. And you, of course, are at the very sharp end. There's almost too many riders to mention, both on the academy and on the domestic scene. And of course, not least, Zoe Backstead, who is already a double world champion. I mean, this is a special group, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the standard, like, of the British racing this year has been really good, and I think that just only pushes it on forwards, and it only takes it and get better. So, yeah, it's looking really good at the minute.
Well, we talked earlier about the World Track Championships in Israel, or perhaps only mentioned it in passing. I'd kind of assumed you'd be going. But when was that actually confirmed?
So I think I've known for a little while, but I'm not sure if there has been some sort of main sort of confirmation of it. But yeah, we're doing the Scratch Race, Omnium and Madison. So I'll be doing the Madison with Zoe. Hopefully we'll be have a good chance on that. We'll see.
Well, I'm placing my bets now. I'm going to get down to the local bookmakers, Grace Lister and Zoe Baxter. That doesn't sound like a bad combination. Travel, I guess, is another aspect of this incredible year you're enjoying. You may even go to Australia before the year is out. I mean, do you enjoy that? Or, you know, is travel a necessity? Airports can be a chore, can't they? Long-haul flights, pretty tiring, very easy to pick up bugs. Or does the travel simply add to the excitement? I mean, you get to see different places and different cultures simply as part of your career.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Like, you know, you go to places that you probably never would have been to. I mean, I'm going to Israel next week. I didn't think I'd be going there. But, you know, I've been to France, like Belgium, Holland, Italy. I've been pretty much everywhere this year. So it can get quite tiring. And, you know, when I came back from Euros and Commies, that was quite a big block of travelling. And it can get to you sometimes. And especially, like, continuing your training around that. When you're at racing as well, you don't always get to see much of the country, which sometimes is a bit of a disappointment. But you kind of bear your race, you go back and you go on to the next one. But I mean, it's pretty cool you can say that you've been to these places.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I guess that pulling on the Great Britain jersey, that's got to be a thrill as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to, you know, getting GB kit and race for your country is always pretty special. I've had a few opportunities to do it this year, and I've still got, I think, Waterstones and other Nations Cup coming up in September after Track World, so hopefully I'll have a few more opportunities as well.
And what would a rainbow jersey mean?
Oh, I mean, it would top the season off. You know, I've had a pretty good year this year, and I think it would be pretty special to get one. And, you know, I got a European title last year, but now I've got some national titles. I mean, it's the one left to get, but it's also the hardest one to get, I think. And yeah, it would be pretty special there.
I mean, it would be an unbelievable achievement if you're able to pull it off. And who would bet against you right now? And even the Track World Championships might not be the end of the line this year because, you know, again, as we mentioned in the intro, the World Road Race Championships will be held in Australia in September. Before we get any further into that, let me ask you a big, broad, sweeping question. Do you consider yourself to be a roadie or a trackie?
I think at the minute, I just want to, you know, I want to keep it open. I think one definitely benefits the other, and I think I enjoy it most when I'm mixing it up and doing both. So I think, you know, going forward, I want to carry on trying to race on both, really, and train on both.
Is it hard to keep swapping between the two disciplines?
I think they kind of bounce off each other quite well, and one sort of, you know, your road helps your track and your track helps your road, but I think I enjoy being able to switch it up.
Have you ever been to Australia? I mean, you mentioned that you didn't think you'd ever be going to Israel. How about Australia?
Hopefully I'll be going for the road race. Fingers crossed I'll be selected for that, and it'll be pretty cool. I've never been to Australia, and I don't think I would have been going either if I, you know, haven't been cycling. So that's another kind of country to top the list.
Well, we're looking a long way down the road there, aren't we? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would you want to do the time trial at the Worlds as well as the road race?
I think for me it would be just the road race. Time trialing's not really my strength, I'd say. So I mean, I'm not bad, but like I think, yeah, definitely the road race would be my main target.
Given the strength of the Great Britain squad, would you be happy to play a supporting role?
Obviously we've got Zoe in from last year joining as defending world champion, so I think I'd be more than happy to, you know, go and support her to try and defend it again. And I mean, it's a course, you know, it's got a bit of a hill in it. It's not mountainous, but it is quite hard, and it'll be tough, and it'll be an attritional race, so it will suit me as well. So we'll just have to see what happens on the day, because, you know, anything can happen. It is a course that could suit me as well too.
Well, if Zoe defends her title, it won't be the first time that, you know, a British female rider wins back-to-back world junior titles. Lucy Vanderhaar, of course, Lucy Garner, as she was then, won the rainbow jersey in 2011 and 2012, I think. But what about the long term for you, Grace? We were joking about Paris, saying that it might be a bit soon, and that, you know, the Olympic Games in Los Angeles in 2028 might be a bit more realistic. But where do you see your career going? Do you look at somebody like Laura Kenny and think, wow? Or do you look across at the Women's World Tour and think, you know, that might actually be the place where I fulfill my potential. That's a career.
I think there's more and more people now kind of doing both, being at the Olympics 1 minute and then also racing on the Road World Tour the next. So I think that would be like top sort of goal for me if I could get to that point. But, you know, it's a long way off. And I think on the track, obviously, the ultimate goal would be to be at an Olympics. But then I still enjoy the road just as much, and to be racing in the pro ranks at elite, you know, World Tour level, that would also be quite a big goal as well.
Well, it's been a wonderful time to be involved with your career, Grace, even in a very small way, through our sponsorship of Brother UK Orientation Marketing. Grace, thank you very much indeed for joining us and for sharing some of the highlights of this incredible year.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.